Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking Packers football. It's now April. We're getting ready for the NFL draft. To do that, we have a special guest joining us to kick off the show. On the line we have right now on the phone, we have Scott Wright of DraftCountdown.com. Scott, how you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I think we're going to be talking a lot about running backs on today's show. There seems to be a lot of talk about NFL draft prospects at the running back position among Packers beat writers the past few days. So we're going to talk about these guys a little bit. In today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there's a big feature article on UCLA running back Jonathan Franklin written by Tyler Dunn. Anyway, what can you tell me about Jonathan Franklin? He seems to me to be a guy who's kind of got that good blend of speed and power, but I want to get your thoughts on him.
Yeah, one of those guys that doesn't do anything amazing, but does everything well. And he physically good size. He's 5'10", 205, but not outstanding. 40 time, he ran 4.49 in the scouting combine. 1'10", good, but not great. But what he is, he's just a natural runner. And coming off an outstanding senior campaign, I don't think people realize how good he was as a senior. Ran for over 1,800 yards and 13 touchdowns. So a very productive senior year. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a good blocker. So Franklin's a guy who really was solid all senior bowl week and has really kind of gained some momentum during the pre-draft process here to the point where it's looking like he's going to be one of the probably top four or five running backs off the board and probably be a second or third round pick.
Another guy who's kind of maybe one of those guys who does good at everything but maybe not great at anything would be Wisconsin's Monty Ball, at least in my opinion. There's another post by Tyler Dunn at the JS Online yesterday about Monty Ball, quoting a scout saying he's a guy you could look at the fourth round or later. Now, of course, being in Wisconsin, there's a lot of attention on Monty Ball. Tell me, is he a guy who can be had in the fourth round or later?
No, I don't think so. I think Monty Ball probably isn't going to escape the second round, and I think third round would probably be a worst-case scenario. And similar to Franklin, like you said, and Monty Ball is one of those players that I like to call him a meat and potato runner, just because there's nothing really flashy about his game. He's just really effective. Obviously, extremely productive throughout his college career, which is both a blessing, but it can also be a curse because he's got a lot of mileage on his tires. Running backs only have so many carries in their bodies, and his ticker is already closing in on 1,000. So, Monte Ball, but also like Jonathan Franklin, he can also catch the ball in the backfield. He's a good blocker, and I think he's going to be absolutely a second or third round pick. Now, I would argue that maybe you can get a similar type of player in terms of value in the fourth or fifth round, and maybe even a more talented running back, certainly physically, than Monte Ball. And running backs, we tend to see them get undervalued undrafted because teams know they can get good ones later on. Looked at Alfred Morris last year, was a sixth-round pick. He was one of the most productive running backs in the league last year. So this is definitely one of those years where I think you want to take advantage of that depth. We had 10 underclassmen come out at the running back position alone, which really strengthened this draft class. And I think you can get a guy who can give you similar production two rounds later. So I said this is the type of year at the running back position where I want to draft the fifth, the sixth, the seventh guy off the board rather than the first. And I want to take advantage of that value. So guys like Stephon Taylor from Stanford in the fourth round, maybe Christine Michael from Texas A&M, who might be the most physically talented running back in this draft, but he's got some off-the-field issues. He could be there on day three of the draft. Mike Gillisley from Florida. Marcus Lattimore from South Carolina, who, had he not gotten hurt, he might have been the first running back off the board, maybe in late round one. He's probably going to be there in round four or five, even though he's not healthy. I can go on and on, and there's tons of running backs, and you can get a productive guy because at the running back position, it's not just about talent. A big part of it is situation and opportunity as well. And if you plug any of these guys into, for example, the Packers starting lineup, they're probably going to be able to be productive runners for you.
I want to pick your brain about one more running back. Got a lot of attention in the comments section here at Cheesehead TV yesterday. There was an article written by Bill Huber of Packer Report on Michigan State running back Le'Veon Bell. Actually talked to a scout saying, a couple scouts saying that Bell is one of the best running backs in this year's draft class. And, you know, even didn't rule him out as a first-round running back, which I think catches a lot of people's attention because I don't think he's graded that highly by a lot of people. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, and he's another guy who's going to be right in the mix there to be one of the top handful of running backs off the board. I have him at number four in my rankings at running back, and I'm a big fan. And he's a big guy, even with cutting a little weight. He's still 230 pounds. He's a little high cut, which is a concern. Not a blazer, but you don't expect a guy that's 230 pounds to run a 4.4 necessarily. He ran a 4.6 flat at the scouting combine, which is about what was expected of him. And another player, very productive, had a really big season, almost 1,800 yards and 12 touchdowns this past year for Michigan State. And there were games where they really relied on him. That Spartans offense really put a lot on his back, and he was a workhorse for them. And another example where instead of taking maybe Eddie Lacy or Monte Ball in the second round, you might be able to get Le'Veon Bell from Michigan State in the third, maybe even the fourth round. So that's another example where you want to take advantage of that value. Is Monte Ball that much better than Le'Veon Bell that he's worth taking two rounds earlier? I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I would be waiting until those mid rounds and taking advantage of that depth at running back. And Le'Veon Bell is just another classic example.
To get away from the running back talk for a little bit, let's talk about some quarterbacks here. The topic of the day, it seems, maybe the past 2 days, is West Virginia quarterback Geno Smith. I was just listening to Mike and Mike in the morning on ESPN before coming on air here. They're talking about it because Pro Football Weekly's Nolan Naraki has some, you know, character concerns about Geno Smith. Where do you lie on this issue? What do you think about him?
Well, and first let me start off by saying that I know Nolan Naraki from Pro Football Weekly a little bit, and he is not an attention seeker. He is not the type of person who's going to try to create controversy and put himself in the limelight. Quite the opposite. Nolan would be content if he could just study his film and nobody ever knew his name. So I'd like to dispel that notion, and I would vouch for Nolan any day of the week and twice on Sunday. I think he does an outstanding job, and he's one of the best in the business. In regards to Geno Smith, I haven't heard as many of the question marks as Naraki has, but it's not like he's making this stuff up. It's stuff he's been told by sources, whether it be inside the program or in the scouting community. And I will say, I've been raising some concerns about Smith dating all the way back to their bowl game when West Virginia got beat pretty handedly by Syracuse in the Pinstripe Bowl. Geno Smith did not handle the adversity very well. I was pretty stunned by his sideline demeanor and his body language. He was kind of pouting on the sidelines, and it's not what you expect to see from a top-10 draft pick and a guy who you're probably going to end up making the face of your franchise. So that was a little disconcerting for me, well before any of these recent reports came out. So time will tell, though. And Nolan, people are going to remember this, and they're going to judge him on this scouting report, and if Geno Smith turns up to be a star in the NFL, he's going to have a little egg on his face. But at the same time, a couple of years ago, he raised some similar concerns about Cam Newton. And to this point, he's been pretty spot on. Cam Newton had a good rookie season statistically, but he has not been a winning quarterback in the NFL. His general manager that drafted him has already been fired. The coach that was there when he was drafted is already on thin ice. So we'll see about Geno Smith. But like I said, I would vouch for Nolan any day of the week.
Yeah. Interesting that you brought that up. I watched that Pinstripe Bowl game too, and you know, just being a fan of a cold weather team here in Green Bay, you see Aaron Rodgers do fine in the cold weather all the time. Geno Smith didn't do all that great, but anyway, I got one more question here for you, Scott, before I let you go. And you know, with the Packers drafting late in the first round, I think there's some thought that maybe there's teams out there that will be looking for a quarterback late in the first round, be looking to trade up, could find a trading partner with the Packers. Who are some of these quarterbacks who might go late in the first round and the Packers could trade with the team possibly?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of these teams are addressing their issues at quarterback in other ways, mm-hmm. and I kind of relate it to punting on this quarterback class. And I think a big part of it is teams are scared to death of the top quarterbacks of this class because there are no sure things. We got spoiled a little bit last year with Andrew Luck. There's not another Andrew Luck going on for 10, 15, 20 more years, so teams are going to have to take a chance, but I think they're real leery, and that's why you see them going out and getting really short-term stopgap solutions like Alex Smith, like Carson Palmer, like Matt Flynn. These teams are going to be right back in that quarterback market in another year or two, but I think they're just scared to death because all of the top quarterbacks in this class have question marks to one degree or another. So really, the Buffalo Bills are the only team at this point that I would say is definitely going to take a quarterback in the first couple of rounds. Now, there are others who could possibly pull the trigger on a signal caller, but Buffalo's the only sure thing. So they're the team I would highlight as if they don't take Geno Smith from West Virginia, number 8 overall, maybe they trade up from 41 back into the first round to get Matt Barkley or Ryan Nassib from Syracuse, who makes the most sense for Buffalo. Syracuse head coach Doug Marone, he's now the Bills head coach. So 1 + 1 would equal 2 there. So I think you could see some action with teams trading back in the first round for a quarterback, but not as much as we once thought, just because there aren't as many teams with quarterback as their top priority going in the draft as we thought there might be. But I think Green Bay would be more than open to moving down. And there is such a fine line, especially this year, more so this year than most. There's such a fine line between being a late first-round pick and being a mid-second-round pick. It's basically just a matter of the draft order and team needs. That's basically what's separating the 26th pick in this draft from the 50th pick in this draft. So if the Packers did move down a dozen spots or so, they'd probably be able to get similar talent and save some money and add some additional draft picks. So I think they'd be open to that scenario.
Very good. Scott, thank you so much for joining us here this morning at Cheesehead TV. Love your insight. Love the work you do at DraftCountdown.com. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Again, Scott Wright, DraftCountdown.com, joining us here at Railbird Central. Glad to have him on the show. Glad to have you joining us, the listener, today. Once again, if you didn't join us Monday, you probably noticed the new look to Railbird Central. Just like Packer Transplants, we're now using the new live stream, which is really cool. So no longer do your comments have to be approved. You just have to, and again, if you want to join the discussion here, yes, you do have to make an account at live stream. But folks, it really is painless. And for those of you who did do it, on the chat, please tell people how painless it is to create an account at live stream, because I know how it is. You know, you go to a new website for the first time, you're like, oh, I gotta create an account. But the thing is, with the Facebook integration, it's just like one click. If you got a Facebook account, it's easy. It's not sitting there posting on your Facebook page all the time. So, you know, I suggest you doing it, and it, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it. So really cool. And, I think it's easy, and I think you'll enjoy this format much better. You know, there's mornings before where we weren't approving comments. We just didn't have the help, and now it's all automated for us. So it's really cool. And, I think it has a new sleeker look to it and all those kind of things. So anyway, thanks for joining us here at the new Railbird Central, new look Railbird Central, at least. Same old everything else. Same old Brian, same old Jamie here joining you. But anyway, yeah, glad to have Scott Wright joining us talking about some of these running backs. You know, just coincidence that there's been so many articles published on running backs you know, lately within the sphere of the Green Bay Packers, from Tyler Dunn at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, Bill Huber at Packer Report yesterday, and we talked about some of those guys. Le'Veon Bell of Michigan State, Jonathan Franklin of UCLA, Monty Ball of Wisconsin. Of course, a lot of Packer fans are familiar with him just because he's from the in-state university. But you know, I think there was a cool blog post by Tyler Dunn at JS Online, and Scott Wright basically alluded to this too in the blog post. You know, Dunn had quoted a scout as saying that he would wait until rounds 4 through 6 to find a running back, you know, rather than taking one early, especially with a team like the Packers who doesn't run a ton, you know, and finding a running back there, because he says you think you can find a starter in those rounds. And Scott Wright kind of, you know, listed some of these guys who could be had in those mid rounds, you know, possibly 4 through 6. Guys like Stephon Taylor, guys like Andre Ellington of Clemson, guys like Marcus Lattimore of South Carolina. And you know, it's interesting. I mean, you sit there and you look at and say, well, the Packers, yeah, they could use a running back. You know, you're probably optimistic about DeJuan Harris, but at the very least, they could use a complementary back to DeJuan Harris. And who knows, if Harris gets hurt, then they can use a featured back. And so you sit there and you look at it from that perspective, and it makes sense. But you know, do you really want to wait until rounds 4 to get yourself a running back? Because then these guys start to have question marks. You know, take a look at Marcus Lattimore from South Carolina. I liked Marcus Lattimore too. I think people like him too much though. I think people just look at his body of work at South Carolina, and especially what he did like his freshman year there. He came on like gangbusters. But since that time, you know, he's had those injury situations. Now, if I'm correct, he's torn an ACL twice, right? In both his sophomore and his junior years. So you got that. And the one this past year, in 2012, his junior year, was just gruesome. If you remember watching that, you know, there was, I know if you're a football fan, especially a college football fan, you've probably seen highlights of that on, you know, whether it's YouTube or you saw it when it happened on SportsCenter or whatever. You know, it didn't look good. And it just, the injury history worries me. Jamie George saying on the live blog, I like Lattimore too, but completely agree that I feel he's overrated. John says on the live blog, I would like Lattimore if I was the 49ers or Vikings, a team that's set at running back but could use depth. And Jamie does point out it was an ACL in each leg. So that's what you've got with a guy like Marcus Lattimore. And I think, you know, in rounds 4 on, you get more guys like that. In terms, you know, like that, meaning guys with question marks, you know, Christine Michael of Texas A&M, who we've talked about here before on Railbird Central, lots of question marks with him, a little bit about injuries, but more so about the off the field concerns, character questions, things like that. So that's the risk you take with waiting until that long to address the running back position. Now, I mean, that it's no different than any other position out there, though. I mean, you wait to the 4th, 5th, 6th round, 7th round. These guys have question marks all over. You know, of course, in the first round, there's fewer question marks about players one way or the other, whether it's, you know, on-field concerns or off-field concerns. There's usually less of them. But you wait till the mid rounds, the late rounds, you know, more question marks. These guys aren't perfect. They're not the ideal situation. They're not the ideal player. Otherwise, they'd be going in the first round, right? So you know, how maybe it is, you know, how much of a priority should the Packers place on the running back position? You know, is it something where they need to get one of the best running backs in this year's draft class and address it in rounds 1 or 2? Should they be doing that? And I'll throw that question out on the live blog here. Those of you commenting along, what do you think about the running back position? Is that a position the Packers should be addressing early? In fact, just throw your opinion out, early or late, or maybe early, middle, or late. You know, how should the Packers address the running back position? Early being rounds 1 and 2, mid rounds being 3, 4, maybe 5, late rounds being 5, 6, 7. You know, when should the Packers address it? And you know, it's a tough question. If you're of the feeling that the Packers should just take the best player available, well, you know, in that case, it all depends upon how the board falls. You know, if you think there's a good running back there in round one who's really good and you think he's the best player available, well, they take him in round one. But if you have other players rated higher, you just keep waiting and waiting, and who knows, you maybe even don't draft a running back at all. So it's tough. It's tough. In fact, just the early you know, comments here on the live blog. John says early rounds 2-3. Jamie says late. So I mean, and nobody's wrong. Nobody's wrong with their opinion. They're both valid opinions. But it just does show you the discrepancy about how people feel about it, you know, and that's it is what it is. You know, people have differing opinions, and that's the way it's going to be. But interesting here to do a little bit of running back talk here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. You know, we also talked about quarterbacks with Scott Wright. You know, big topic today, Geno Smith of West Virginia, the criticism he's received from Nolan Naraki of Pro Football Weekly. Of course, you know, Scott mentioned it. Nolan Naraki's one of the top NFL draft gurus out there. You know, he's right there, you know, probably behind Mel Kiper and Mike Mayock of the NFL Network, just because they're on TV, they probably have a little bit more notoriety. Whereas Naraki, his you know, medium is writing, and you know, he's certainly one of the top draft analysts out there. And of course, he was the guy who made the criticism of Cam Newton, you know, what was it, 2 years ago? You know, Cam Newton talking about his disingenuous smile. And it is kind of weird because, you know, so Naraki has gotten, you know, attention with these kind of things. And it's weird because, I mean, he's the one who publishes them and he gets the criticism for them. But, you know, he's getting these things from scouts, you know, most of the time. It's through his conversations, his interviews with scouts, and you know, I'm sure he does his own work as well. I don't know if Nolan Naraki has personally interviewed Geno Smith and has gone through X's and O's with them. I don't know how well Nolan Naraki knows his, you know, X's and O's at an NFL level. So that's tough to say, but it's weird, you know. Well, with things like this, and it certainly isn't a case where Naraki was just simply criticizing Geno Smith, and that's all he did. This was part of a larger scouting report, you know, that include positives, negatives, broke down his game, things like that. But it's simply the negative, the criticisms of Geno Smith, the things like he can't analyze X's and O's with the best of them. He can't lead a group of men. He doesn't command that respect that elite quarterbacks do. You know, these were the criticisms of Geno Smith put out there. But those were the only things, you know, that got attention. There was plenty more positive things written about him as well. But you know, folk people are focused on the negative in the media, just because most people have, the general public has a very high opinion of Geno Smith. But anyway, you know, talking about Packers topics today, and I mean, NFL draft certainly relates to the Packers. You know, the one thing that happened yesterday, in the world of the Packers, and there wasn't a whole lot going on here on, you know, April 2nd. But quarterback Aaron Rodgers had a radio interview with a Milwaukee radio station, not one that's normally not a sports talk radio station, so you know, it's kind of off the radar a little bit to to sports fans, but he did it because I think he was plugging the Mac Fund and his work with them. But of course, they talk football as well, and it was part of a charity drive, something like that. But it, you know, of course, everybody wants to know what's going on with the contract negotiations with Aaron Rodgers, and basically, he gave nothing. He's like he couldn't say one way or the other. He just basically kept mum. And, you know, you understand. I understand where Aaron Rodgers is coming from, how he didn't want to say anything. It's disappointing from, you know, a media standpoint, a fan standpoint, because you want to get, pardon me, you want to get a little bit of insight into what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the negotiations that are taking place. But he gave nothing. I mean, he didn't give you any indicate whether progress was even being made. He said like just a handful of words and sloughed it off. But, you know, he said a lot of other things. I thought among the most interesting things that he said otherwise was he really gave a vote of confidence to Evan Dietrich Smith. And, you know, these are things he did during the season as well. I remember him speaking highly of Evan Dietrich Smith during the season. But he really thought the center position would be better. Aaron Rodgers said that this year in 2013 with Evan Dietrich Smith manning the position. And you kind of read into that saying, well, it's going to be better than it was last year with Jeff Saturday. And, you know, again, Jeff Saturday is a good guy. And, you know, I think the Packers made the right move at the time in signing Jeff Saturday. Maybe in retrospect, they shouldn't have. But I think at the time, it was the right choice because Evan Dietrich Smith was kind of an unknown. You didn't know if he'd be able to do it. Maybe he should have been the starter from day one last year. You know, would you have gone through some lumps early in the season as he kind of learned his way? Possibly, but maybe that's the risk they should have been willing to take. But anyway, Aaron Rodgers feeling good about Evan Dietrich Smith. I'm not sure I feel the same way. And again, we've talked about this topic before here at Railbird Central. Prove me wrong, Evan. I've said that before. I want to see you do well, but you know, I've been kind of, you know, spending a lot of attention a little bit on centers in the NFL draft just because I think it's a position they should possibly address. I think Evan Dietrich Smith has gone, I've seen him gone through his struggles enough in his playing time. He's gotten enough playing time the past 2 years to know what he is, what he has. And, you know, go back to 2011 here. Of course, you remember he was the one who got tangled up with Ndamukong Suh on Thanksgiving Day in 2011. He had kind of filled in there from an injury standpoint for both, I believe, TJ Lang and Josh Sitton at one point. And then in 2012 here, he filled in as well when Brian Bulaga went down. TJ Lang kicked out to right tackle. Dietrich Smith came in at guard, so that happened at midseason, played a couple games, and then late in the season, of course, was the starter at center. But anyway, you know, it's I don't have this ton of confidence in Evan Dietrich Smith based upon what I've seen. I've seen him get pushed back into the backfield. He just doesn't seem like he's anything more than a middling NFL starter at center compared to other guys that I've seen. He doesn't seem to be that Pro Bowl caliber. And you know, I mean, that's the risk you take in going in the NFL draft and you know, getting an unknown quantity. You might get another guy who's a middling guy or even worse. I understand that. But maybe should the Packers strive for better? You know, if you go out and you draft a guy at center in the NFL draft, you still got Evan Dietrich Smith in your back pocket. You still got him there in your back pocket. He's still under contract for 2013. And if you're not confident in the guy you drafted, well, you can always re-sign Dietrich Smith to a longer-term contract. So that is what it is. John on the live blog says, I think EDS is a fill-in at guard only and his best position is center. I the thing that really makes me take notice is that when EDS played center, TJ Lang's game seemed to improve. Fair point, fair point. I think, you say EDS is a better center than guard. I think TJ Lang is a better guard than a tackle, as we saw in 2013 as well. He for a while there he was filling in for Brian Bulaga, and I don't think TJ Lang did all that great of a job at right tackle. I thought he did okay. As kind of an emergency fill-in, a guy who can play there for a game or two, which is he played there for a little longer in 2012, pardon me. Once he get, I think he's more comfortable at guard. It fits his bulldog style a little bit. He's a little more physical guy, but doesn't quite have the athleticism you need as a tackle in dealing with those edge rushers. So, that's my take on the Packers offensive linemen, specifically TJ Lang and Evan Dietrich Smith. But it's past 9 o'clock here this morning, folks. Thanks for joining us here on another episode of Railbird Central. Thanks to Scott Wright of DraftCountdown.com for joining us. Thanks to our live blog director, Jamie Jors, here. And we're going to be getting Jamie doing some new stuff here eventually at Railbird Central, with posting underneath the video player, doing things like that, just becoming more interactive here, which will improve the Railbird Central experience for everyone. So kind of looking forward to that over the course of the next few weeks. But anyway, here, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again on Friday, everyone. For the time being, I'm Brian Caribou. I leave you today with a song called Velvet Red by Conspirator on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.